Thank you so much for tuning in to She's All Over the Place with Kiriaki. That's me.
We're live.
We are live. Thank you for joining us on She's All Over the Place, top 2% podcast out of 4 million podcasts because of you. We're streaming in over 100 countries. Make sure you're liking, subscribing, and sharing this episode with at least one person. Today, I have on some millennials who went viral. They go by Grief Cat, Annie and Louisa. Thank you so much for joining me. How are you?
Good. Just wearing our, you know, comfiest sequins for this beautiful podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
My pleasure. So people who are on the live right now, they know the vibes, it's video. But if you're listening to this after and it's just the audio, pop over to the YouTube because they match. They're matching. They always match in their music videos. They're matching. It's so cute. Also, we have a partnership with Rad NFT TV. So we are now streaming in over 4.5 million homes. So check us out on the Rad app when you get a moment. And or if you are on the blockchain, you can also watch the program on the blockchain. Ladies, what is going on? You're in the DC area right now.
I just made some dumplings.
And we're playing a show later tonight. So after this, we're going to go play a show in DC. We're playing a So Far Sound show. So that'll be fun.
Wonderful. Yeah. When I'm in DC, I'll have to come see you play in person. Oh,
we'd love to have you anytime. Just let us know.
Okay. So like as a human being, I've worked in entertainment for over 2 decades now. Then, you know, the layer two of social media came and then the boom of TikTok came and then the pandemic came and you went viral during the pandemic. So I want to know from you because you go viral, you're a viral person and they're like, oh, that's the story. That person went viral. I want to talk about, did you know it was going to go viral? Or were you always hoping for something to go viral? Like when it went viral, you're like, yo, now we're viral. Were you in shock? Like how was that experience leading for your piece to go viral? Like how was that? And let's just start there.
Yeah. So we initially went viral, I think in November of 2021 was our first viral video. So we hadn't really done a lot of reels before. So we went viral first on Instagram and we posted a little just short reel to promote an upcoming show. So we do an annual World Toilet Day show every November. And so we posted a clip of our song Revolution, Poop at Work, and it didn't really do anything. And then like 2 weeks later, so even like after the show, it was Thanksgiving, all of a sudden we started getting all sorts of notifications and our phones were blowing up. And then before we knew it, we had 1 million views for the first time ever on a video. And our count of followers on Instagram like significantly increased. Like I think we were at like 2,000 or something at that point. And we jumped up to 12 like pretty quickly. And then from there, it's just kind of kept happening. So at this point, we're actually going viral right now with another video about cheese. So we have like over 26 million views on our content at this point.
Now going viral is just a natural kind of thing.
We wish. Yeah. We definitely, it's such a crapshoot, right? Like you put a lot of effort into some videos and sometimes the algorithm picks it up. You put together a very haphazard video involving cheese and staring longingly out a window, remembering when you could have cheese without having tummy problems. And that one, you know, that one really sticks to the masses. So, I mean, we are not content creators first and foremost. We are musicians first and foremost. So definitely all of the viral success is just a really super sweet cherry on top of the cake. But, you know, we would be making music and playing shows, whether or not people on the internet liked us or not.
So you didn't do marketing or do the Instagram boosts on the inside to make these go viral. It was just natural.
Yeah. Natural. Everything we have has been organic. We have like tried boosting things once or twice, but they didn't really do anything. And so for that, like, you know, over 25 million at this point, all of that has been purely organic.
Yeah. So I'm kind of like more of my mind speculating now is because I have some friends who work at Meta. So I'm wondering if it's like an internal team that are like, oh, this is so unique. And so, you know, compared to maybe internally they boost it out for you. Maybe marketing team and you don't even know about it. But
It would be nice to have guardian angels.
I know,
at Meta.
Right?
Yeah.
No, I mean, I think what's happening is that like people see this content. It's really relatable. They like and they share it. And then so many people do it. And then the algorithm realizes like, oh, people like this. And it just kind of keeps going. So the things that really seem to hit for us are anything involving tummy issues. That's everybody has tummy problems. And so anything around that or anything, honestly, around kind of like the current atmosphere of like, man, it's tough out there economically. And so just anything people can relate to, that seems to be what's really, really going viral. But occasionally we have things that do pretty well too that are just stupid.
Yeah.
So you never know.
Yeah. Did you see American Fiction yet?
No.
No.
It's amazing. It's a first time writer and director. Just a little alpha here. I won't give you the whole thing, but here's the crux of it, right? The guy is a writer and they're like, you need to go take a leave and just go relax, like a sabbatical with your family. And he's like, you know, relaxing with the family, whatever. But anyway, so he gets kicked out of work because of his attitude. He's like grumpy, and he's a great writer, but he's not hitting it off. So he meets with his book publisher, gives this like amazing book, and he shows him the Johnny Walker, and he's like, there's like the blue label, the red label, the black label. And he's like, you know, this one's very expensive, this one's medium, and this one's like the cheapest, but it's the most fun, and those get a lot of the sales. And he wasn't understanding it, you know, and because he was so judgmental and just wanted to be very sophisticated. But it's like, you just have to meet the people where they are. And a lot of people are going through so much stress. They just want to laugh and have fun. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, you can do the high and sophisticated, but you can also do this one too, you know, and that's what art's about, art and creation. So when I'm viewing who you are and what you're doing and your musicians at heart and now viral, you know, millennials over here, but you're very comical in your work and your creations, and it's relatable to people because, you know, you can get all these Harvard degrees, but it's like people after they see everything they want to see, they just want to like sit down and like have a laugh. You know what I mean? And you're able to willingly go there in such a way. And so many people are people pleasing or judging themselves and judging others to be picture perfect with everything looking so boss and flawless. And it's like, there's something just really organic and natural about what y'all are doing to, you know, through line of your success. So yeah, I just kind of want to, you know, highlight that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We appreciate that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when I was seeing it, I was like, are they really talking about those kind of things? Like, you know what I mean? It's like, oh, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's real. Like everyone has tummy issues. Not to say everyone likes to talk about it, especially if you're a millennial, because most of them don't even know about those issues later. They're like, you know, they have to send this to their grandma or their mom, you know? So it's like the juxtaposition of being youth, but then talking about stuff. You know what I mean? It's really unique. So congratulations. And I've been into blockchain since 2018. So I saw your Crypto Bros recently.
Amazing. Love that.
So what was the inspiration for Crypto Bros?
We know that cryptocurrency and, you know, the blockchain are really important aspects of culture right now. They are just very complicated and go over our heads. So we wrote a song, you know, just admitting that we don't fully understand.
Because you were making like Elon Musk the king of NFTs.
Totally. Absolutely. Hilarious. Yeah, no, that one's so much fun to perform. And what we love is that like people who do identify as Crypto Bros or people who have loved Crypto Bros tend to love that song the most, because the general premise of the song, for those who don't know, is basically you are in love with this person, but then you have to break up because he's a crypto bro and he turned your garage into a Bitcoin mine and all of this stuff. So it's like a love lost kind of song.
The crypto bros, when you think they're lonely, they're not. They're just degenning on other crypto bros. Like, like there are certain memes of like being in bed, like cuddling and just looking at like Bitcoin and ETH like going up. I've been to so many events. No one's like asking you for lunch or like to hang out. Everyone's just so bullish on like tech and the future and the currency. Yeah. Like everyone's just so zoned in. It's pretty funny.
It is pretty fun.
So let's talk about like being women in music. How has that journey been for you, you know, then and now? And how has it changed with the internet?
Gosh, I mean, I don't even know how much it's changed. It's fun to be a woman in music, but like you're definitely a minority, I will say. So do you want to talk about that experience we had with the band?
You can tell a story.
So one time we were playing at a venue in the DC area. It's a fantastic venue. And it was our show. And we get there. The people working at the venue were like, all right, so what's our setup? But they talked to our band, who's all men. They like didn't realize that we were part of the band because we were just two women on the side. So like our band kind of had to redirect. So there's like this expectation that we're not necessarily the musicians, we're the girlfriends, or we're just like, I don't know, groupies. So it's interesting to kind of see that mindset in play, like even today. Yeah. That was pretty recent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you tell other females? What advice would you give to a new musician or someone who's a female musician like yourself and myself with some tips that you would give them? Because a lot of the demographics on my show are 18 to 24 year old ladies.
Yeah, I would say don't be afraid to take up space. I think that that's something that we are always kind of learning, like to ask for what we need and everything like that, because it can be kind of hard to stand up for yourself in these like very male spaces. One thing that's really annoying is that you'll get pulled into like these like women singer songwriter nights, and I love a women singer songwriter night, but it's just kind of like, can we just have singer songwriter nights? Like, why are you only booking women if it's a women specific night? Can you pull us into the other ones too?
Yeah, why are we always a songstress and not just like a songwriter?
The beautiful and talented.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah. I think what's also been kind of neat to see, especially this last summer, where like Taylor Swift was having her tour, Beyonce was having her tour, the Barbie movie was a big thing. It's very evident that like women love female-centered media. Everyone should, but like it was, I feel like that summer was like a moment of really strong like sisterhood, that, you know, just to see all this amazing media, artful media that sort of had, was catered towards women. And I think for other female musicians out there, if the boys don't get it, it's okay. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. We definitely had our moment, and it's just going to keep blowing up more and more. Yeah. So you have a new album called Late Stage Capitalism. It's funny with the deeper meaning. Let's talk about the meaning behind your new album.
Yes. So, sorry, we lost our screen there for a second. Oh, there it is. Okay, we got it. So Late Stage Capitalism, we're really excited. It comes out on April 19th.
Same day as Taylor Swift's new album.
So sisterhood.
Just, while you're perusing Spotify for her new album, just find us too.
Yeah,
you know? Have a whole Friday of new music.
Ladies.
Yeah.
So the album kind of centers around like the theme of how capitalism has really kind of like invaded every facet of our life. So every song kind of has something to do with kind of fighting against the system while being kind of powerless. So you've got to fight the system from within the system, I think is a way to say it. Mm-hmm. And we touch on all sorts of aspects. So like, you know, there's no such thing as a benevolent billionaire. You know, fight the man by pooping at work.
You have to break up with your partner because they've become so invested in crypto that they're not investing in you anymore.
Yeah. So that's kind of like the central tenet. But we're really excited because every single song is a different genre. So it's really like a genre bending album. And we're really excited with how it turned out. We're also doing music videos for everything on the album as well. And that's been really fun to see those come to fruition.
Yeah. That's so neat. And it makes me think, because the presidential elections are, you know, this year and the next seven and a half months are really. So are you going to be making any songs about those kind of things?
We have done political songs in the past, like very specific ones, but those ones are kind of tough because they don't really age as well.
Right.
So they don't stay as relevant for the long term.
But unless you pick RFK Jr., which he's going to be president. So that one would be evergreen.
Yeah, I feel like that is we make this distinction that we are musicians who happen to be funny. We're not comedians making music. And so, for example, like a political joke for like a stand-up comedian, they could keep that as part of their set for a little while, but then they would switch up, you know, the jokes for the next time they come on that stage, as opposed to us, where we take a lot of care and time and write these songs in the hopes that the jokes will always stay funny and we can play them night after night after night to different people. And 20 years from now, people still want to hear Crypto Bro because it's a great song. Mm-hmm. So
here to stay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
I wrote an article on Arianna Huffington's platform years ago. She asked me to write for her on Huffington Post and then Thrive Global. I wrote this one poetic piece. It was in 2021. And I just said, in a quote, I just wrote how like this and this doesn't matter. Women and materialism and like receiving money. And I'm like, mm-hmm. Cash is going to be obsolete anyway. Cash is on its way out. It's not the number one currency. The number one currency is obviously our health, human connection, entertainment, mm-hmm. those kind of currencies that put more value on actual crypto or cash. But
well, that makes me feel good about our career path. I'll tell you that. Yeah. Currency of the future.
Yeah. We're not making big bucks yet.
Yeah.
I mean, so when you did go viral though, did like brands reach out to you? Like who reached out to you? Who didn't reach out to you that you wanted to reach out to? Or did you reach out to the people that you wanted to reach out to because you had something and it was a good fit because you had something to value, or were like little hustlers scouting you? Like, how was that when you do go viral? Because everyone thinks like all their dreams and wishes are going to come true when you go viral and everything's going to connect. Like, did anything connect, and what didn't connect?
So we did get a comment from Questlove that was pretty cool. and then Kathleen Hanna from like Bikini Kill and Latigre followed us. And so I thought that was amazing.
But in terms of brands, we did receive an offer from a brand, a very well-known internet fashion retailer that was offering us a lot of money, but to like do posts involving their clothes and to tag them in their posts, especially for like plus size women, like having, you know, plus size fashion sort of highlighting that. Problem is, this particular retailer is like one of the worst carbon emitting retailers mm-hmm. in the world.
And ethically terrible.
And like, ethically terrible. Yeah. And we have, you know, this song about making fun of capitalism and sort of like, we have a specific song about watching your carbon footprint. So it just didn't feel right to take on that brand. That being
bread,
said.
Freudian slip bread.
Yeah,
to take
yeah
exactly.
Get that bread. That but. Being said, though, we ended up like, so we turned that gig down. But then another company that we feel a little bit stronger about that, you know, has their own issues, but not to the same extent, ended up paying us a huge sum of money to play a show at their store.
Yeah.
And so it sort of all worked out, like, you know, picking and choosing based on what feels right to you and your beliefs. I think, you know, you can still feel good about the check you're bringing in.
Yeah. And it is impossible to be like completely like, you know, harm free in the world. Like you can't, like anything we do is probably harming somebody. So we just try to kind of, you know, based on what we know, we just try to make the best choices for us ethically that we can. And like, we're not going to be perfect, but we're certainly going to try our best as we.
Yeah, you're aware. And I love your ethics and I love how you stood true to what you were saying. It's important. And I feel the same way as an artist. Like I've been approached with certain things and it's just like, no. And the more you say no, the more you say yes to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's really important. And it's nice to have choices. And I think like the more companies that you work with and things like that, like you kind of lose some of your choice because if they're paying you, then you have to do certain things. That being said, we do have another song called Sponsor Us that is basically entirely made of corporate slogans with like the joke being like, hey, we are actively trying to sell out because like we need to make a living. So that's again, that raging against the system, but you still have to operate within that system to live. So that's kind of like the fine line that we're always treading, but laughing at the same time because we
I mean this world just feels so manipulated in so many ways because it's like it is. You said one thing and then if you take the deal then you lose the fan base because they start a fight about you, but that fight and chaos creates more publicity with more brand deals and it's like you can get lost in the ocean. But as a producer, I'm just exploring here, like as a producer, as a consultant thinking like, what if you went back to that brand and we were like, you know, we were thinking we loved your offer. The thing that why we didn't take the offer, or maybe they know, be like, you know, I was just thinking about it longer. And, you know, what if we created a line together and it was more sustainable and ethnically aware instead of just shutting it down? No. And if they have all this money, they want to like align too. You know, maybe they could do it exclusive with you on this one line, like a limited edition and see how it does, right?
Yeah.
QVC brings people on. They'll see how you do within 10 seconds and then throw you out. Well, like Tony Hawk does collaboration skateboarding companies. There's companies that do collaborations. Maybe with you particularly, they just did like a boutique collaboration since you are very niche because they wanted the plus size. But I mean, you could always go back to them and be like, yo, we were just thinking. And that could be like that you expanded corporations, brands to shapeshift into evolution of carbon footprint. And then maybe the fans would like you even more, be like really proud. And you would give, like you said earlier, creating more space, but maybe you create more space, not only for yourself, but for brands and for your fans. I don't know. Mm-hmm. You let me know about that.
Yeah, I think it's a good thing to think about.
I know famously, like Billie Eilish wouldn't wear any Oscar de la Renta until that they stopped using fur in their designs. And then and then they ended up getting to dress her for the Met Gala because they got rid of fur in all of their work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and who are we if not Billie Eilish? You know, there is precedent of like a celebrity or someone having influence telling, you know, a big company, hey, I will only work with you if you do X and make a better choice.
And you said earlier, Louisa, about taking up more space. So do it if you can. Or think about it And then if, because sometimes you got to strike while the iron's hot. Like if you don't do it in the moment, like the boats pass because they're so bullish and so obsessed about it that they want to do it no matter what. They just want a yes. So if that ship is sailed, if you go to them and they like circle back around, it could be there. But if the ship is sailed, that gives you like more space for next time when they come at you. And if it doesn't align, be like, well, slap. Do this and we'll make it we'll make it happen if you do this. Like, you know, like what do you have to lose? Nothing, right?
Yeah.
True. Yeah, absolutely. I will say with that particular brand, I don't think I want that ship ever. With other brands, hell yeah. I think that's great advice. Thank you.
Take me to lunch. Don't forget about me. Send me some merch.
I'll give you a call.
Cool. Let's talk about how your values drive your music.
Ooh. Do you wanna take the lead there?
They definitely do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we have this new album about late stage capitalism that definitely is value driven. That being said, we're also funny people living in the world, and we have songs about cheese. We have songs about nothing feels more naked than just wearing socks and nothing else.
It's very naked feeling. Try it.
We do write, you know, consciously, but also we do dabble in comedy, so we'll write about anything.
I'd say it's like 80-20, like 80% values driven, 20% is just fun, but our values are also fun and important to us, so like that is always present. Like the next album that we're writing, we'll probably call it, you know, Grief Cat After Dark, and that's a lot of the stuff that we've written that's funny but like doesn't fit in with that late stage capitalism narrative. Like they're like slightly sexier and just like different type of silly. But I think like even our values, like we try to show those in like our music videos and everything too. So like we recently did a music video for our song like Love the Sinner that, you know, really focused a lot of like drag and queer performers because we thought that that was really important. And that's something that's really important to us as we sit here in our rainbow sequins. So that is something like we do try to shine a light on things that we care about and people we care about when we can.
Okay. Wonderful. Thank you. And then lastly, who are your inspirations and why?
So many.
I'm having a moment with Cass Elliott, aka Mama Cass from the Mamas and the Papas.
She's great.
I know that's like, you know, an old reference. I should be like hip and cool, but we are not the first people in larger bodies to try and make a career in music. And Cass Elliott was like, you know, one of the founding mothers of plus size ladies trying
founding
to make
mamas, yes, I guess, yes. The mamas
or
and the papas.
Just like her, I've been reading just like her experience of being a plus size woman in a band with, you know, I guess straight sized members, and how media at the time really like owned in on her body and focused on it, and how it is 2024 and we still do that. And we still, you know, God forbid you have a different shaped body than, you know, the standard sizing, and that gets like highlighted in everything you do. So it's just been nice to read some of her takes on what she experienced, and just to feel a little comforted that like this is a tale as old as time. People saying bad things on the internet about our bodies, that's nothing new. It's been happening since the 60s. It's probably been happening since Scarborough Fair.
Well, you know what they say when people say negative things or they judge you, they're just judging themselves. So we just have more compassion for those kind of people. I mean, I remember being 11 and doing that. 11.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know any better unless you're taught, you know?
Exactly. So. We're all swimming in like the same stew of like just everything in society, which is terrible, which is something we like react to a little bit in our music because like society, like structures are tough.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just absorbing and taking in what we're hearing from other people and from other people in positions of power. And then like, that's kind of forming our brains. But as far as I'm concerned, okay, so I've got lots of musical influences, but I think some of the big influences for me, I've always been like really influenced by like Flight of the Conchords. I absolutely love the kind of like that silly songwriting. And then just a lot of like 2010s kind of music, like I really, or early 2000s, like the Decemberists, Ben Folds, they're all, the Divine Comedy's another band that have been really influential in like my writing and the music I like. But lately I'm on like, I want to do dance music. That's my new thing.
Yeah, I think I'm slowly, well, you've always been interested in dance music. I feel like I have always.
Oh, really?
I feel like I've always been more interested in like the divas of the world than you have. Yeah. So it's kind of nice to have you starting to like dip into like, oh, the Kylie Minogues, the, you know.
I make EDM beats.
Oh, really?
Excellent. We're looking for a producer.
Yeah.
We actually need a producer for one of our songs. So yeah.
I will send you a link right now of over 70 beats.
I love that.
And I can make anything you want. You'll hear it and you're like, you can tell me what you want and I can send it to you. I make it real quick.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, let's chat.
Yeah. My current goal is to become like Kylie Minogue, but funny and a duo.
But also sound good, which is like very, very hard. Yeah. It's very hard to make a great sounding song that also when you listen to the lyrics makes you giggle. A lot of people go really far in the, this is a silly song direction, which means that the music is lacking or the singing is lacking, the production is lacking, but we really take all those elements seriously and the songwriting seriously.
She's like really popular still. Like I didn't hear about her. She was like out of my stratosphere. And then I saw Madonna in New York and LA the next day because there was 5 Madonna performances. She had Kylie Minogue get on the stage and because she has someone get on the stage every performance and it was Kylie Minogue. And I was like, word? It brought her back on the map, but I had no idea. So
yeah, she rocks. Big fan.
All right, I'm going to put on her playlist later.
Do it. Yeah. Padum, padum.
Padum, padum.
Padum, padum. It's a classic. Your disco needs you. Like, those are my top two right now in this moment.
I'm going to listen to those first. Everyone knows listening, it's going to be in the show notes, but where can people find you? Please let us know.
Yeah. So on Instagram, we are at Grief Cat Party Time, like a sad cat. So because Grief Cat was taken by a cool goth girl in Malaysia. So Grief Cat Party Time. It's the same on Facebook, but everywhere else we're Grief Cat. So if you look us up on YouTube, on Spotify, iTunes, Amazon Music, Grief Cat.
And because sometimes we still misspell it, it is GRIEFCAT.
It's very hard to spell. Yeah. We should have chosen an easier band name.
Well, I'm glad you're being real about it because neurodivergence is on the rise. Most people are not diagnosed. They don't know it, but there's a lot of dyslexic people and there's people like me. My brain goes so fast that and I don't think my phone's big enough. I think I need the bigger one because my thumbs go so fast and they're not even like big thumbs, but I'm just clicking the wrong things all the time. So thank you for spelling it out because a lot of people have a lot of technical issues.
I think you and I are the same. I'm like, my brain is just always spinning. There's always too many things happening and there are things also spilling out. Which one usually receives via text message.
And it's like there's so many handles and so many things to remember. It's just like so much.
Yeah, it's a lot.
We're human beings, not human computers.
Yeah, we're all over the place. What can I say?
We're all over the place. Yes. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming on. You're welcome anytime. You just tuned in to She's All Over the Place with Grief Cat. Make sure you share this episode with at least one person and watch the music video, show notes below, and we'll see you next time. Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time. Kiriaki, over and out.